We're up to Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk of Gimel. Now, before we do Pasuk of Gimel, we still do not do the Rashis. Only one Rashi, Pasuk of Beis. Chabeis El Chulda Hanaviyah. We learned that Chilkiyahu sent a message. He was instructed by Yoshiyahu to have a consultation with the Navi to have an understanding of the significance of the Siman of the Os. That the Sefer Torah was open to Yolech Hashem Esmalkecha Asher Tokum Olecha. So who did he consult with? He consulted with Chulda Hanaviyah. The question is, why did he consult with her, not with Yirmiyah, and why did he consult with her and not with a male, a man? This is such a significant event. Who was the major Navi? Yirmiyah. The major Navi was Yirmiyah, right? That was the first. Why now Yirmiyah? And if not Yirmiyah, so why with a woman? Why? Probably
since he's a Melech, he should have.
A man goes to a man. Why is he going to him? So we learned the understanding of the Mitzudas. Mitzudas says because women are havrachmanis. And just to review it, it's in the Mitzudas. He adds in something very important. The Mitzudas, because shehi tispalel ba'adam, she should pray. And I don't know if that comes from Chazal. That lechayim is his interpretation. Then all Chazal say Noshim have Rachmanis. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi Chabeis. Rabbi Seinu Darshu Lufi Ki Yisha Rachmanis Yoyse Minu Ish Lachein Lo Sholach El Yirmiyahu Hanavi. That's why not Yirmiyah, because women have compassion. But just to review very quickly, what the Mitzudas did was something very interesting. So therefore, what? So what? She has compassion. So how is that going to make a difference? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring harm upon Klal Yisrael, what difference does it make if you go to a woman or a man? Just a message. A Navi is nothing more than a mouthpiece. He's just a recording. Or it doesn't make a difference if the tape recording in your GPS has the voice of a male or a female. It tells you make a right, make a left. What difference does it make? Yeah, so Rashi, the Mitzudas seems to address this question by saying that's right. But after she will say bad news, she will immediately be mispalel, and that will help. Whereas a man will say, good for you, get what you deserve. Okay, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi does not make that point, which gives opening to another interpretation, which is discussed by Chazal, that a Navi has the power to mold the prophecy. It's not just a matter of praying. Prayer is after the fact is over. After the bad news has been presented, then you need to undo the decree through prayer. But there's a much better technique. There should not be a gzer to begin with. Does a person have the ability to mold, to form the prophecy in a way based upon their emotions? And that, it's by Rashi not mentioning tefillah, Rashi just mentioning simply that she will be the mouthpiece to give over the prophecy, seems to indicate that there is such a koyach of the Navi himself to change, to alter the Nevuah as it comes through, as he transmits the Nevuah, it should make a difference. Okay, that's a very important point. Now again, Yirmiyah, we learn over here, Rashi, that's the reason why he did not go to Yirmiyah, is because Rashi presents one approach. However, I had mentioned this before, another reason is because Yirmiyah just was not available. Yirmiyah went, according to Chazal, at this point in time, to retrieve the Aseres HaShvatim. He tried to return them, and that's why he was not available. Okay, well, let's now see what she says. About the Pasuk of Gimel, Pasuk of Gimel, Vatomer Lohem. So she responds, Koyma Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Imbu Lo Ish. Send to the man, Asher Sholach Eschem Eloi, who sent you to me. Now, before we go further, let's see what it says in the Mitzvah of Gimel. There is no Chav Gimel in the Mitzvah. In Rashi, there is a Rashi, very important Rashi. Imru lo ish, lefi sheratz lahavsik, chazon, ratz lahavsik, chazon ha'am il hamokam hazeh, v'al yoshav, u'sheshileim usa chazon oz mevar hetev, v'il hamelech Yehuda, hashlech aschem, u'mekatzer nevuah, slavit zkenam amokam, v'yoshav, v'salkoi, v'toivsev, v'nevuah hamelech shu meruba. Okay, so Rashi just giving us a little insight into what's coming up. There are two parts to her message. There is a message to the people, to Klal Yisrael, and then there is a very specific message to the king himself. Okay, so the message to the king himself is more elaborate than the message to the people, and that's why we're going to have a break of two different statements, and we're going to go back and forth. That's what Rashi's alluding to. We'll get to the same circle. We'll come back to Rashi again. We need to structure the response for two different groups of people. Okay, but before we go further, there's a Chazal. It's not quoted here in the Rashi of Mitzudos that Chulda was criticized for her prophecy, that she was slightly disrespectful. She said, Imru lo ish. The ish is not a man, he's a king. He was the melech. Yoshio was a king. And he was a tzaddik. And it was not her place to refer to a king as an ordinary man. You don't address...
Miskin.
Exactly. And therefore, Chazal criticized. And what's very interesting is Chazal go further. They say, okay, this is not a nice thing to say. Is that it reflects the weakness of a woman. That if she was a man, she would have automatically had a certain sense of respect for a king. A woman, when greatness comes to a woman because of their greatness, so the guy that gets to them and they view other people as their equal or as their inferior. And in fact, Chazal, they describe, that's her name was Chulda. Chulda means a weasel. A weasel is not a very honorable creature. And also Chazal talking about Devor. Devor means a bee. They named the Chulda. What kind of name is that? I don't know. But Chazal say Chulda and Devorah were two of the famous prophets, and their name, and both of them were criticized for being disrespectful. Devorah was disrespectful to Barak. Some said that was her husband. Some learned, some were not. She was disrespectful when she spoke to him. And Chulda was disrespectful to Yoshiyahu. She said, tell the Ish. Tell that one. And that's why their name reflected their lack of dignity in having proper respect for a man, or for someone, certainly a king, or Baruch, who's one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's go further. Now, one thing I left out, Pasuk of Beis, yeah?
I missed the other day, but, so the question, what question was being brought to Fulda?
The question was, what is the significance of finding the Sefer Torah open to the Teuchacha? They found the Sefer Torah. Torah, according to Rashi, according to Mitzudos, it was the Torah that Moshe himself wrote. They were searching for this for a very long time. They discovered it. And it should have been rolled to the beginning. And it was open to the Teuchacha. Hashem will take your king and your people into exile. And this shook up Yoshiyahu to the core. And he wanted to know if there is significance of this. So they went to her. Now, one thing we left out, I forgot about this interesting Targum in Pasuk of Beis. Pasuk of Beis, it says that where was she? She was sitting by the Mishneh. That Chulda, where was she found? So we learned in the Mitzvot there were two walls. That during the time of Chizkiyahu, to defend Yerushalayim, he built a double wall. And by building a double wall, that's part of the defense of Yerushalayim. Now it's been years later, and I guess there was not a time of war. They were secure. Ashur fell, and they were secure. So people began to improvise. They took up space. Since anybody had two walls, it was convenient. They sat in, they used this space in between the two walls. They set up shop. And she also, that's where she was sitting in between the two walls. So this wall is called the Mishneh, it's a doubled wall. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, I don't know where I saw this, I thought it was in Rashi. Maybe it's in the Radak, I don't have the Radak in front of me. But Mishneh means she sat in the Lishkas HaGozes. In the Lishkas HaGozes, there was a chamber just for her. She was a Milumedes. Okay, let me open up to the Radak into the Targum in this edition. Okay, it's Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk of Beis.
Those kind of walls in English are called casement walls, and they were used for protection. As you say, they used to have armed people
within the wall. Well, like today in Eretz Yisrael, with the
shelters.
Some parts of the partition between the Arabs and some of the more dangerous areas have two walls.
Yeah, but there was a space between.
Right, a space between the two walls, and they have there today, they have very sophisticated electronic surveillance. Plus, they have a road, and they have soldiers on patrol going back and forth. But I remember once an article about all the extremely high-tech things they put there to detect anything going in between. Once you enclose an area.
In Lebanon, they have a double fence.
Right, that's what I mean. A double fence.
A double
wall. There's a road in between, and they have
Very smooth, like, make sure It's a paved road.
And they also have techniques to make sure no one's building a tunnel underneath. There's a lot of very high-tech stuff, but this is not new. This idea of having a double wall and having a road in between comes from Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu built this to protect the city during his time. Now, it was not a time of sakana. There was no one patrolling in between the two walls, so people took advantage of the double wall to shelter themselves and to set up a business. Or in this case, Chulda, she set up her shop where people came to speak to her. They came to her for brachas. You ever see the picture of Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky? I once went, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to go, I was in Bnei Brak, and I wanted to see Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I didn't want to go. It was there. I wanted to see what's going on. So there was a line out the door for Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but there was a much longer line for Rebbetzin Batsheva Kanievsky. She was much more popular than him. And she had a very long line. So it's interesting that this goes back to... this goes back here as well to Chulda. They were both men and women. I was shocked. I said to myself, I remember there were men and women waiting in the same line. And I said, in America, this would never happen. They would put up signs of Yecherim, Taruvis. How could there be men and women standing together? And Eretz Yisrael, he says, in Eretz Yisrael, we're firmer in America. They are in Eretz Yisrael. Go to a wedding in Eretz Yisrael by chuppah. Everyone stands birubuvia, men and women together.
But the Hasidim, they stand separate.
It's true. Truth is, there was a very became popular, unfortunately, a picture in Beis Shemesh. They had a chuppah and they had a lechitza in the chuppah itself.
Right.
You know, in the chuppah itself.
Okay.
You hear such extreme.
So why bother getting married?
Exactly. Why bother? I don't know. Exactly. I'm with you. Okay, Chav Beis. You didn't see that picture, it was circulating online. Okay, when you take a look in the Pasuk Chav Beis, okay, Pasuk Chav Beis, there is no Rashi, so where did I see this? So it must be looking the Radak then. The Radak, how could it be? Where I saw this somewhere, I don't know where I saw this. The Mishneh is... what's going on? On the wrong page, I'm sorry. Perek Lamed Dalet. Give me 1 second. And this is not the other edition I have here. Perek Lamadal Pasek. Pasek Chaf Beis. V'yosheves v'yushlam b'mishneh v'yidaber lechazos. Pei Pasek Chaf Beis. El Chulda HaNeviyah. All these Rashis, they don't have the my edition. They don't have them. They got lost. El Chulda HaNeviyah. No, it is here. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know where I'm reading from. Let's read Rashi again. Okay, Pasuk Beis. I'm sorry. El Chulda Neviyah, Rabbi Seinu Darshu Lefi Ki Yoyishar Rachmanis Yoyisim Eno Ish Lechein Lo Sholach El Yom Yohanav. Let me explain. We did that. Shomer Habogadim. So we learned the Mitzvah of the Shomer Habogadim of the King. Here it says a different pshat. Im Tirtz Loima Oy Bigdei Kohuna Oy Bigdei Malchus. Her husband was in charge of the clothing of either the king or of the Kohanim. Yeshaves Bishan the Mishneh, so we learned the Mitzudas. He says the first thing, Shnei Chaimus, Hayu Le'ir, Vihi Yeshaves Bain Shnei Chaimus, Vitargumo Beis Ulfana. She had a Beis Medrash. Ulfana means a place of study, a school. She had a Beis Medrash. Can you imagine today a woman have a Bet Midrash for Noshim? Well, they have such things, but she. Fine. Perush B'Mokoim Torah. She had a chamber, a special office in the Lishka Sagazis. It was called Lishkas Chulda Haisa, Sucha Lechutz. It was partially open. It was not completely closed because of Tznius, in order to not be a shal of Yichud. Psucha Lechutz, the Stuma Klapi Sanhedrin, and it was closed towards the Sanhedrin. Shabalishka Sagazis, Kach, and Lishka Gaz, Kach Kosav, Bemesech, the Midas, Bibne Tznius. Because it had to be a partially open. That's just like we have Dvor, Shatachas Tomer Dvor. Under the palm tree, if she sat out in the open, she should not have any problem of Yichud. When men came to speak with her, there should not be an issue of Yichud. So Devorah sat in the open underneath a palm tree. So she did something similar. She sat in a chamber which was partially open. It was only at one wall, two walls, whatever it was. Why is it called Mishneh? So simply Mishneh also refers to learning. That's why we have the Mishnayis. Mishneh means to repeat. The only way a person can become a Talmud Chacham is through constant study, through diligence, through repetition, through learning over and over. So she sat b'Mishneh. basically means she sat in the place of Torah, where Torah was repeated and studied and reviewed over and over again. Okay, let's now go back to the message. Pasik Chof Chof Dal. Kleyamar Hashem. So says Hashem. Hindi Mevi Ruah Al Hamokim Azet. So the first message concerns not the king, but concerns the people upon Yerushalayim. So says Hashem. I will bring Ruah Al Hamokim Azet Yal Yoshvav on its inhabitants. Eis Kol Ha'olos Aksuvos Al Haseifer Asher Karu. In Echonami, there is significance. The fact that it was open to the Teichah indicates that all of the curses of the Teichah will come true. Asher Karu Lifnei Melech Yehuda. Now, this is very difficult because if you open up the Mefarshim on Chumash, and we know there are two Teichachas, there's Teichacha and Chumash, in Chumash, in Bahalai Scha, in Chukosai, and in Kisava. And most of Mefarshim tell you that the Teichah of Parshas B'chukosai was the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Teich of Churban Bayis Sheni is predicted in the Kisavo. Here it was opened up to Parshas Kisavo, and Chulda is saying, yeah, all of the words that are being read to you is because what's going to happen now. But right now we're holding by the Churban Bayis Rishon. And if according to the simple interpretation, it means she's telling you that the bias will be destroyed. I mean, Yoshio died 22 years before the Churban. He was king for 31 years. I don't remember exactly. Whatever it was. So the bias can be covered about 50 years. And she's telling me what's going to happen in 50 years is predicted exactly what you opened up to. But that's very difficult because the Mefarshim tell us that's not really the way it is. So Enochanami, you have to really learn that what she was telling him is what's going to be in 400 years from now, 500 years from now. That's right. The Churban that's going to happen in 500 years from now is rooted in the sins that are happening now. And this, that is going to be a Churban Bayis Rishon, that's just a Hakdama, that's just an early Churban to what's going to happen, the ultimate Churban. It totally changes the picture. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more that has to be understood, because if you learn the Pasuk from faith value, you're getting into a lot of trouble, because why couldn't, for the same money, the Sefer Torah be open to the Teichecha in Chumash B'chukosai? So you're telling me, because there it doesn't say a melech, it makes no mention about the king. Right? Yoylech Hashem esmalkoch asher tak molech al am asher lo yedat, to take the king. The Bayis Sheni, there wasn't really kings. They were kings, but the kings didn't have really any real power. They were just vassal kings. So you have to deal with both, because it doesn't say anything about a king in the first Teichecha. It only mentions a king in the second Teichecha. But the second Teichecha focuses on the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis holding now by the Bayis Rishon. Yeah. So there seems to be a mingling of the two Teichechas, which requires deeper insight, which...
The other thing is that Ezra is writing this to try to encourage people to come back. He's going to tell them that this bias that we're going back to is giving an effort. That doesn't seem to be too much of an encouragement.
Interesting. That's a good point. Okay. Welcome back. Hope you didn't come yesterday.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this is something I just want to keep in mind, this idea that he's predicting Ace Kol Olas Haksubas Al Sefer Asher Karu Lifnei HaMelech Yehuda, it will come upon, it will come true. Pasuk Chaf Hey Why Tachas. So she gives a reason, because Asher Azavuni, you have Hashem says, you have abandoned me. Vayikatru, and you have offered incense. Leilohim Achirim Laman Hach Inseni, and you've done this. You've done this in a state of rebellion, in all different forms, all different actions. Because you've done this, my anger has been poured out. Vatidach has been poured out upon this location, and my anger will not subside, it will not be extinguished. Pasuk of Vav. Now, that's the end. That is the end of the prophecy concerning the people, concerning the Mokam and the people. Now she directs her attention to the king. And you, the king, the El Melech Yehuda, Hashlech Eschem Lidrash Hashem, who has sent you to seek out Hashem to understand the significance of this message. So says Hashem location concerning the Dvarim, concerning the matters which you have heard with your ears that were read to you from the Sefer Torah, Yan, because Rach Levavcha, Hashem now says, I've seen what you have done. When you heard these words, when you've heard the words read before you, you were humbled. You ripped your garments. You sat in mourning. Yan rach levavcha, your heart was soft. And you humbled yourself before Hashem. B'shamach, when you heard es, divarav alamokim hazev yal yashav, concerning this place and the people. V'atikona lefonah, you humbled yourself before me. V'atikra es begodecha, you ripped your clothing. V'atifch lefonah, you cried. V'gam ani shamati num Hashem, I've heard your cries, and therefore you will be rewarded. What is the reward? Hinani osivcha el avosecha. The reward is you will be gathered to your forefathers. V'nesavta el kivosecha, and you will be gathered to the burial graves of your forefathers. Bishalom, in peace. You will die in peace. In other words, I am going to delay the Churban. The Churban will not happen in your lifetime, but you will die. V'lo sirena einecha, your eyes will not see. B'chol harash she'ani mevi al hamokim hazeh v'al yashav. Vayeshivu es hamelech davar. That was the message that Chulda sent to the people. Double message: the first message to the people, message to the king. Tell the king that it's not going to happen in your lifetime. There's going to be delay. Vayeshivu es hamelech davar, and the matter was returned to the king. Now, what did the king do? Now, this is very good news, because the good news is that a delay. Whenever there's a delay, it automatically gives a person an opportunity to do two things. Number one, to do tshuva, and maybe the evil decree will be annulled. Number two, even if the tshuva will not be 100% to annul the decree entirely, at least you can prepare. Ein adoyim, going into galus unprepared, being prepared. The only reason why we survived the Churban bias was because there was an 11-year preparation. 11 years before the Churban, Yechonia went into exile, and they set up in Babel a whole environment, a whole they set up kosher pizza stores, right? They set up everything that Klal Yisrael is going to need for the Churban. Yaakov sent Goyshna, Mesu Shachlofan of Goyshna. So this was a tremendous accomplishment of Yoshiyahu. He did tshuva, he humbled himself, that delayed the Churban, and part of that delay allowed Klal Yisrael to make preparations, especially him, to set up an environment, make preparations, what's going to be after the Churban. Okay, Pasuk Chav Tes, Vayishach HaMelech VeYesav, it's called Zikna Yehuda, L'Tashan Finish the Perek, the king sends, and he gathers, it's called Zikna Yehuda V'Yishalayim, so now he does here, this is very important, what he does here is, Rashi points out, he everything he does now parallels what it says in the Toichacha. After the Toichacha, we find, we the Rashi, Rashi says all the psukim, there's a bris. Moshe brings Klal Yisrael into a bris. It leads into the parashas Atem Yitzav Hayom Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, where he gathers everyone, he warns them, they make a bris, they make a shavua. Yoshiyahu does now, what he does now is printed, he's following the blueprint of what it says immediately after the Toichacha in Parshas Kisav. Let's see. Vayal HaMelech, Vayishach HaMelech, Chavtes, Vayesav, Eskol Zikna Yehuda V'Yishlam, Vayal HaMelech V'Beis Hashem, he goes up to the Beis HaMikdash, V'chol Ish Yehuda V'Yosha Yishlam, Ha'akonim HaLevim, V'chol Om Yigudol Yakoton, and all of the people of Klal Yisrael, Vayikrav Yosneim, the Pasuk has to be read the other way around. He calls in their ears in the presence of the Zekanim of Ish Yehuda, Yosha Yishalayim, Ha'akonim HaLevim, V'chol Om Yigudol Yakoton, Vayikrav Yosneim, Eskol Divrei HaSefer HaBris. He reads them the Sefer HaBris, HaNimsa Beis Hashem. He reads to them the Sefer Torah. He reads to them, seemingly, it's like Hakel. He reads them Mishneh Torah. Okay, we'll see in a few moments. Let's read the Pesukim. Vayamot HaMelech Al Omdo. He stands on a platform. Vayichros Es HaBris. Lifnei Hashem. And he forges a bris. Lifnei Hashem. Loleches Achrei Hashem. To follow Hashem. V'lishmor Es Mitzvosav. To guard His commandments. Ve'edosav. And his laws, the chukav, three different examples, a mitzvah, an edoisa, the chukav, b'chol levav, b'chol nafsho, lasos, divrei habris, haksuvim al sefer hazeh. Vayamed es kolanim sav Yishlam b'Binyamin, he positions, he gathers together, vayam means he makes sure they stand there, they're present. Vayasu yoshve Yishlam kibris alukim elke avosehem, and he makes sure that they follow the bris of Hashem, the God of their forefathers. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayosa Yoshiyahu, and now he continues Ask kol ha-to'evos b'chol ha-rotzos. Again, he goes on a new campaign. Now, this is something very interesting. We learned before this event, where we find the Sefer Torah, he already spent 6 years cleansing Yerushalayim and the Aseres HaShvatim from Avodah Zarah. And yet, after those 6 years, when they find the Sefer Torah, there's a prediction for gloom and doom. Why is that so? So Mepharshim explains it's because he was fooled. He thought that he thoroughly cleansed the land from Avodah Zarah. He did not. There was still plenty of Avodah Zarah hidden away in all over, all different secret locations. And that is why the Teichacha was presented to him in this fashion, that you're still going to go into Galus because you have not really cleansed the land. Now what does he do? He goes out on a second campaign to cleanse the land from Avodah Zarah. Now, was he successful in the second campaign? Well, we know what the story, we know about his death. When he died, we know that when he died, he thought the Klal Yisrael was clean from Avodah Zarah, and that's why he did not want to allow the king of Paro to pass through the land, Paro Necho, and Yirmiyah said to him, people are still worshipping idols. And we read about this in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, that people secretly had idols on their doors. They had an idol, and the idol was split down the center, and when the inspectors come, they open the doors, they look inside, and there's no Avodah Zarah. And when the inspectors leave, the two doors close, and by the two doors closing, that unites the two parts to bring the Avodah Zarah. So you see here something very interesting, that this was already the second wave of inspections, the second attempt to cleanse the land from Avodah Zarah, and again he was unsuccessful. 6 years he spent cleansing the Perish and the Pasta. Going back to Perakim ago, it's clear. He went on a campaign to cleanse the land from Avodah Zarah after Menashe and Ammon. And to some degree, he did succeed, obviously. But what happened? They did renovations. They found the Sefer Torah, open to the Teichacha. You're going to go into Golus. Why? You're worshipping idols. What do you mean I'm worshipping idols? We cleanse the land from the idols. The people fooled you. You think you cleanse the land? There are plenty of idols still left in hiding. So he goes on a second campaign. Now, that's what it says here in this pasuk. He goes on a second campaign to clean the land once again. But we know even this was not 100% successful. Even though in this campaign, people, the inspectors, actually entered the private homes of the people, they did not succeed in cleansing the land in their homes, because we know that the churban happened because there was still Avodah Zarah in hiding. So that's what's over here in Pasuk Gilam. Yosar, Yoshias, Kolatoibas, Mikolaratzos, Asher Livnei Yisrael. Vayaved, and he destroyed Eskol HaNimsa B'Yisrael, La'avoid, to worship Es Hashem, La'avoid, for the only purpose to worship Es Hashem Elokeihem, Kol Yamav, Lo'esaru Miyachre Hashem Elokei Avosehem, and he did not turn. He did not turn from away from Hashem Elokei Avosehem. So let's take a look at the Mitzudos, some of these Mitzudos, starting with Pasik Chof Dalet. Hinni Nevi. Okay, we're going back now to the response. Chulda HaNaviyah, she responds to the prophecy, to the request of the people. And she says two parts. The first part is concerning the people. Hinni Nevi. Ratzolayim ha'ois hazel loy b'mikra bo ki'im e'ashem u'chilu omar hinni Nevi ra'ah. So the first thing Chulda does is she confirms that it's not a coincidence. There is great significance in the fact that the Sefer Torah was opened to the Teichacha.
Didn't she know this before they opened up the Sefer Torah?
Not necessarily. We don't know how Nevuah works. It seems that if they came to consult with her, she probably said, I have to speak to Hashem, I have to go.
Gave it,
it could be. Seemingly, yeah. That's seemingly the way it would work. Viel then, Pasuk Chavav. Now she says, part two. I gave you part one, what's going to happen. Part two, there's a personal message to the king. Even though the gzera is sealed, you will not die with them. Why? Because when you heard about this terrible omen, you did tshuva. When you became aware about this sign, what did you do? You ripped your clothing, you cried, you mourned. In reward for this, you will not die in exile, you will die here in this land. You will not be buried among the land of the nations. B'shalom ki im ki meis b'melchama Now, the truth is, he did not die a very honorable death. We know from the Kinos, how did he die? We know this from later Prokim. We're coming up to it soon. He died in battle. Paro Nechol wanted to go to war against Ashur. Right? He wanted to go to war. And he wanted to pass through the land. And Yoshiyahu, at the end of his life, said, you cannot pass through the land, because it says in the Pasuk, V'cherev loisavar bi'artzechem, a sword in the Rechazal, say, afilu cherev shel shalom. When it's going to be a time of peace, you can't use our airspace. No planes, bombers, are going to fly over our airspace in order to attack another country. And the only time this is true is when Yisholo Isim with Soyne Shalmakam. Yoshiyahu was misled to believe that Klal Yisholo were tzaddikim. There was no more Avodah Zarah. They were only studying Torah, everything was fine. Yirmiyahu said, you're making a big mistake. People are worshipping idols in secret. Yoshiyahu did not listen to the advice of Yirmiyahu. He did not allow Paranucho to enter. Paranucho said, you're not going to let me pass with permission. I'll pass against your will. So he began to march through the land. Yoshiyahu went out to greet him, to attack him, to prevent him from passing. And in that battle, Yoshiyahu lost his life. They shot, they saw where he was, and they shot, Chazal say, 300 arrows into his body. His body was perforated like a sieve, and he died on the battlefield. His servants took his body, and they returned it back to Yerushalayim, to the burial crypt of his ancestors, of David, Shlomo, and Chizkiyahu, and that's what it says here. So the question, obviously, the Mesudas is asking is, that's called peace? It says here, Chulda HaNeviya says to Yoshiyahu, that because you humbled yourself before me and you cried, you're going to be rewarded, you're going to die in peace. V'nesavta el kivrsecha bishalom. That's called a peaceful death, to be perforated by 300 arrows. That's called peace. So that's exactly what it says. Im ki meis v'mulcham mikomakom tichoshev lo l'shalom. So the answer is very scary, Chazal. Peace is relative. What could have been? That's called 300 arrows going through your body. It's peaceful, relative.
That's called natural cause.
As long as you share it in your shalom, that would be shalom.
That's called peace. It's an amazing thing. Look, it's shocking what it says. Im ki meis b'mulchama mikol makom techoshev lo l'shalom. That's called peace because al ki lo roha b'horo'a haba'a al Yisrael. He did not have to witness the terrible things that were going to come to Klal Yisrael, the Churban, the Golus, which happened 22 years later, and that was called peace. They say there's a many tzaddikim. Many tzaddikim, they died right before the Holocaust. They died before the Holocaust, and had they lived to witness the horrors of seeing what would happen to their family, to the chaverim, to their community. That's what it says here. That's what you learn from this pasuk. We don't know. Oh, you'll tell me chayesha, right? They put people on respirators, and they shall live every single moment chayesha. I don't know how to balance the two. You know, a first person was really meant to live another year. But Hashem did in the chesed, he died a year early, not to see terrible things that were going to happen. Oh, but he lost that chayesha. All right, you have to understand, balance the two. There is such a concept of dying before a person's time, not to see worse things. And even though it was obviously not a very pleasant experience. Okay, next words of Rashi, Vayashivu, Chilkiya v'chaverav, after they heard this report from Chulda, they returned back to Yoshiyahu, and they reported. What did he do? So now he comes to something very interesting. So now he responds. His response is, he gets everyone in Klal Yisrael ready for what's going to happen. He brings out the Sefer HaBris, Sefer HaTechachos HaNemorim BeBris. So according to the Mitzudas, it's not clear exactly what he read. He read for the entire Klal Yisrael something. He read the Sefer HaBris. What is the Sefer HaBris? So you tell me it's the Aseres HaDibros, it's Mishneh Torah, it's Chamish Chumshei Torah. The Mitzudas translates the Sefer HaBris, refers specifically to the Toichacha. That's the only thing he read for Klal Yisrael to get them scared. Hanim Sebeis Hashem, Zer Ki BeHaSefer HaHi Matzu Toichachos, Negula BePsichasa VeAf Hiksuva Bidei Moshe HaMekudoshos, Umipi HaShem, And because the reason why he read them the Torah, because that's what the Sefer Torah was open to, and it was holy, it was written by Moshe's own hand. These are causes to terrify the people. These Torahs, Lashuv LaHashem, and if you read these things, people maybe will get scared, and they will do tshuva, and through their tshuva they will annul the evil decree. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Al Omdo. Afterwards, he had everyone stood on a platform. As Divrei HaBris, Divrei Torah had a Mesuna B'Bris. He made everyone forge a treaty. Look at Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayamod HaMelech Al Amdo Vayichros. Okay, he forged a covenant. Vayichros, I guess everyone pledged their allegiance. They took a Shavua. We swear we're going to abide. They formally agreed. They renewed their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they renewed it concerning Vayichros Es HaBris. What did they agree to listen to? The Divrei HaTorah. HaNesuna B'Bris. Pasuk Lamed Beis. What was the next thing that he did? Vayamed Es Kol HaNimtza B'Yerushalayim Ben Binyamin Vayasu Yoshei. He positioned everyone that was present in Yerushalayim and Binyamin. Hemid Kulam B'Bris Vayasu Me'oz V'Holo Osu K'Divrei HaTorah HaNesuna B'Bris. And people listened. He was successful. People began to do what they're supposed to do, whatever people were not doing until this point in time. Now they changed. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Then he went out on a second major campaign to rid the land from idols. Vayaved. Hevid es kol hanimsa b'yushim yishol v'choiz b'farish ma'ahu avoida v'omar l'avoides Hashem. Vayaved means to serve, to worship. Vayaved es kol hanimsa b'yishol la'avodes Hashem elokeihem. He made them serve, not to destroy. That's with an aleph. Vayaved means here to be a servant. He made sure he went out to the people and he inspired them to become servants of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the Pasuk Lamed Gimel in the Mitzudos. Hevid es kol hanimsa b'yishol. He caused them to serve Hashem. Chizm farish ma'ahu avodes v'amar la'avodes to go serve es Hashem. Okay, so that concludes the Mitzudos. Let's see Rashi. Rashi elaborates differently. Rashi has some other interesting ideas. Okay, Pasuk, let's go to Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel, we read this, but let's review it now that we see the big picture. Imru le'ish lefi sherotza lehafsek chazoyin ha'am al hamokim hazeh ve'al yoyshav. She wanted to break up her prophecy into two parts. First, to make mention what's going to happen to the people, and then to discuss what's going to happen to the king. U'chashashile moysa chazoyin, when she finished the vision concerning the people, she now... Oz Mevaher Hetev, then she explains in much more detail what exactly will...
Mevaheres. Why is
Rashi
using...
Lefi Sherotza Lahafsik Chazon Amel Amagzem V'al Yashav Gishtum Oz Chazon Oz Mevaher, maybe means the Pasuk. He's referring to the Pasuk. The Pasuk is relating what she says. Oz, now the Pasuk relates the prophecy of Chuldah. Mevaher Hetev the El Melech Yehuda Hashlech Eschem concerning the king of Mekatzer Nevuah Samakim V'Yoshav. She's Mekatzer. The pasuk is very short concerning the people of the place. V'Yoshav Mistalkoi, and it quickly wants to lift itself away from that topic. The Toiv Soi B'Nevuah Samelech, and wants to grab hold of the prophecy of the king Shehu Meruba, which has many more details. Plenty here. Pasuk Chavches. The Nesafta. So she gave him good news. Do not worry. You will not die. You will not witness the Chorbin. The Nesafta. El Kibirosech B'Shalom V'Halo Nera. Same kashas the mitzudos. Ella b'shalom izeh shlo tirena be'enecha b'chol harasha ani mevi el hamokim azev yal yoshav kolay mar churban abayis. You will not witness the churban. Whatever will happen, you will be good compared to witnessing the churban. Okay, pasuk lamed sefer abris. So here we go. Some very interesting rashis. Hare kol acharada shechorat hamelech al shnimsa kasev. The only reason why he was terrified was because he found what it says in the pasuk. Yel hashem asocha v'ratza v'ra shekara hatara osabris. Now what did he see? The Torah calls the toichacha. In Parshas Kisavo, Eile Divrei HaBris. At the end of the Toichacha, it says, these are the words of the Bris. So he saw in the Torah that it's called the Bris, Eile Divrei HaBris, U'lechein Liyafar Afhu Koras Bris. So he wanted to reciprocate. He wanted to do something. If this is the Torah calls the Toichacha a Bris, so in order to avoid the Toichacha, we must correspond Zeh L'Uma Zeh and also make a bris with Hashem. That's why he gathered all of the people and he said to them, let's now accept upon ourselves a shvua, or what we call a covenant, that we will observe Hashem's Torah. Furthermore, v'ro kosov b'samach achra, u'shmartim es divrei, you shall guard, u'shmartim osam, it says there the words twice, u'shmartim es divrei, ha'torah, u'shmartim osam, twice, gam ro yoshiyohu kosov b'samach. And he also, what else did he see? He also saw that right after Parshas Kisavo comes, Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim, Hayam Kulchem, Osnei Hashem Elokeichem, B'samach Atem Nitzavim, Hayam Kulchem, Atabchem Nesheichem, Ad L'Ovrcha Bivris, Ad Korei Simcha Hayam Omar. So what did he say? What did Yoshiyahu say? He said, since the Teichacha, the Sefer Torah was open to the Teichacha, and the Teichacha is called the Bris. And after it says, Ushmartem, you shall guard the Bris, and it also makes mention that everyone shall be gathered together in this Bris, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, Omar, Af, Be'oisoi Dugma. I'm going to do the same thing. Everything is a simon. See, he lived in a world of simonim. Everything was a simon. Af, Be'oisoi Dugma, Echros, Af, Anibris. Shasham Kosov Atemitsov Afani Vayamit, what did he do? He also positioned Kol Omanim Sabu Shalim Kotov Yad Godo. Bechol Vuchol Navsho, Asher Mosa Shom Kosov Shavda Shem Lokech Bechol Vuchol Navshecha. And since it says you should return to Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul, so that's what he did also. It says over here, Lois Sodom Yachay Hashem, he also did not turn no Divi from Kodesh Baruch Hu in any way, any even the smallest iota. Vayam Hamelech Alamdoi Losh Nitzavim, he stood. That comes from the same expression of standing. Bivrit Hashem Elokeichem Elokei Kibris Elokim Elokei Avo Sehem Kichol Oysam Shekosov Sham Elokei Avo Sehem Lefich Kosov Kan Elokei Avo Sehem Shekoras Lavo Sam Bemidbar V'chol Bris V'chol Bris Shalashem Al V'chol Bris V'chol Bris V'chol Bris Shalashem al avoidas. Every bris is al shame avoidas kucham d'chiv v'atirah shikut sehem anu poyna hayamim l'mim l'fich v'yasa yoshiris kol hatevas. I don't have a clarity in what it means here, but the basic gist is he's following the template of the Teichacha. After the Teichacha, there is the bris, and there is the bris must be made in the presence of the entire Klal Yisrael. That is why here, and the word Shmira is used over and over by the Teichacha in the bris. That is exactly what he's doing over here, starting from Pasuk Chavtes. Just look at the Rosh Hashanah and the Psukim. He sends the king sends, and he gathers the Zikne Yehudim Mishalayim, and he gets up on the platform, and he scurries the bris, and he tells them in Pasuk Laman Aleph, V'lishmor es mitzvos ve'edoy savich hukah b'chol levav v'chol nafsho. It must be with all of your heart and soul, like it says in Parshas Nitzavim.
Could be it means the whole bris shilshay al avedis kachamim. He interpreted the bris on avedis kachamim.
What's that word? Shil
shame.
Shil shame. What's it mean? Shil shame. Shil shame.
It's like a chain. It's a word like he pushed it on. He transmitted that on the avedis kachamim because it says in the. Say
yeah.
Part of the bris was by Yosef.
To not to worship idols. Okay.
Yosef,
okay.
The bris was that you. It says that you went after the Shikotseyam. And
that's part of the sin. The reason why there's going to be punishment is because they worship idols.
Part of the bris, so that's why it says by Yosef.
Okay. Okay, so this is a very, it's an approach. Rashi here is giving us a very powerful approach. The Mitzvot doesn't discuss this. All of the words, everything that's happening over here from Pasuk Chavtes to the end of the parak, all parallels what it says after the Teichacha. The Teichacha is called the Bris, and Atem Nitzav Hayom Kulchem, everyone in Klal Yisrael is to be positioned, standing in one place when this Bris is accepted, and the Bris is to bring everyone back, V'chol Levav V'chol Nafsho, specifically not to worship idols. All of those themes are presented here. The bris, to observe the Torah, to follow Hashem v'chol levav v'chol nafsho, to be shomer the bris in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, with everyone in present, and not to worship idols, and only to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his response, because not only did he learn from the simin of the Teichacha, he also learned that what's needed now is to come together and unite in serving Hashem. Okay, so this concludes Yoshiyahu Sakdama. Then we come to Perek Lamed. Hey, well, the next time is where he now offers a communal Karban Pesach. He's doing is extremely very similar to what Chizkiyahu did. Just like Chizkiyahu, when he went and he wiped out the Avodah Zarah of his father Ochos, he offered a public. They reunited the Karban Pesach to bring everyone together. That's exactly what Yeshua is going to do again. Do once again, and we're going to see more. He's also going to start making preparations for the Churban, which is what he accomplished by humbling himself before Hashem. And one of the main things that he did, we're going to see in the next parak, is he was goynez the Ara and HaKodesh. When he heard that there's talk going to be a Churban, now being goynez the Ara and HaKodesh doesn't just mean he put the Ara and put it away. That represents Hachana for Golos. Very important, like Rabbi Mayevsky mentioned, V'yas Yehuda Shalach Lefanov Goyishna. He set up a base medrash. He took in Goyishan, there has to be a Mokam Torah. He's doing exactly by taking the Aron, putting the Aron in Geniza. It's more than just taking the Aron and putting it in Geniza. There's a deeper message. He's setting up Batei Midrashos, the satellite locations. The Aron is going into Geniza. It's going into hiding. It's leaving its primary location. It's going into a place. So physically, the Aron, we're going to hide it somewhere in Yerushalayim. Okay. But the deeper message that it's conveying to us is the Torah now has to be put away for all generations. And we could assume that outside in Bavel or other place where the Jews are going to find themselves when the Churban will come, there should be a Goshna in order to make sure that Klal Yisrael, in order for that there will be a continuity, the survival of Klal Yisrael. And that we'll see Mir Hashem next week. Okay.